Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of 20 Minutes of Winning here with Larry Thornton. How are you doing this morning, Larry?
Doing great, man. Doing good. Good. How have you been?
Good. Today, we're talking about what you've described as maybe your favorite chapter in Why Not Win?
Chapter 14. I think you're right. I think you're right. So important.
Our 16 hours, and it's all about winning by respecting time. And I wanted to start out with what I think is probably the key quote from that chapter. This is what you wrote. I have discovered that mastering our time can change our whole world. If I could pick a single most important lesson that I would share with my family, it would be the discipline of time well spent.
Wow. Great stuff. Great stuff. I don't know that we've had this conversation, Dave, but when I wrote the book, very much like I do my art, I have a title in mind and placement in mind from the very beginning to the end, and rarely do I change. And writing this book, Our 16 Hours, was designed to be the first chapter in the book. It is just that significant. However, the gentleman who helped me to structure flow, we were back and forth, and I would vacillate. He would comment, and I'd comment, and I finally acquiesced so that the chapter flowed with the story. But I say that because that's just how significant time is. Until we can master and manage time, we can't manage much else. Or if we think that we are, we're not being anywhere close to as effective as we otherwise could be if we had a greater grasp or feel of the significance of time.
You've told an interesting story about a person coming to a board meeting of one of the boards that you're on, seeking support for, I think it was an arts program, and showing up super late and embarrassing you and undermining the effectiveness of his appeal. Could you sort of talk about that story, what happened there?
This gentleman was actually a past superintendent of Birmingham schools. He didn't last long, and that display, Dave, speaks to the very point that I'm trying to make. So there was an issue relative to getting art in the city schools, and I was bent on trying to make that happen, given my history and association and my familiarity with the arts and how it well rounds out an individual. Let's not get rid of the arts. So I'm at a board meeting, and I have like-minded people who would otherwise support this venture. So I arranged for the superintendent to come in for the past 5 minutes. Now, we've only had two, maybe three outside individuals to come into our board meetings, okay? And I'm intentionally not saying what board or who the superintendent was or what school, so that's not important. But the fact of the matter is that we ended the meeting, and I'm waiting. The gentleman never showed up. We extended the board meeting another 10 minutes. He never showed up. So during the lunch portion, of course, he did show up. Then, what's my point? My point is that he made void the entire purpose of the meeting. There's no way that I could have approached anyone on that board to ask for support. And I really feel strongly that I would have gotten the support, or we would have gotten the support. But because you didn't make it in until lunchtime, what a missed opportunity. Now, imagine if that's happening 3-4 times a week, 10-15 times a month. You're destroying your effectiveness by simply not being on time. What a tremendous opportunity missed.
Where do you think the attitude comes from that says to people it's okay to be late or to show up whenever you want? Do you think it's something that they're actively thinking about? Oh, I can be late, it's no big deal. Or they're just not paying attention? Or What do you think's going on there? And I'll give you an example from when I worked at a previous university. And one of my colleagues, let's say he had a meeting at 2 o'clock. He would set an alarm on his watch for 2 o'clock. Well, the alarm's going off, the meeting's starting, right? At 2 o'clock, you know, you're going to need to maybe stop at the restroom. You're going to need to at least walk to where the meeting is being held. So he was absentmindedly, I think, guaranteeing that he would be late to every single meeting by not setting his alarm for, say, 1:50.
Yep. Even the automatic alarms on our phones will give us options, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, never the time that the meeting is due.
Right.
So I think it's a missed opportunity. But to get back to, I think, Dave, that there it goes from both ends of the spectrum. One, I'm just not aware of the significance of time. That's the first piece. And on the other end of that spectrum, and I've seen this more in the professional community, that it's fashionable to be late, or it somehow speaks to my significance or my importance to be late. I've seen that real time. It's very much, and I cover that in this chapter as well. You can walk in an office of a well-organized office. Everything is in place. I mean, to the extent that it looks as if there's no work going on, I speak to that in that chapter. Then you can go into, as I was in a principal's office just about a year ago, visiting schools, and you could hardly see the principal because there were stacks of stuff, not only on the desk, but on the floors. Now, I believe that that individual thought that that spoke to his significance and how important I am.
Look how busy I am. I have stuff everywhere.
I have stuff everywhere to do, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The more significant individual is organized. And when you organize your time, it's tantamount to organizing your garage or organizing your luggage. It just works. It appears, if you've got 38 square feet, you know, with junk everywhere, you can organize that, throw some stuff away, give some stuff away. I think that's worth repeating. Throw some stuff away, give some stuff away, hang things on the wall, and it looks as if you got more space. Well, you have no more space than you had from the beginning. And that's the way your life operates. I will say this to you. People will ask me all the time, how do you get time to write a book? You know, how do you get time to do your art? I'm racing this weekend to do some drawing, get back to my drawing board. You know, how do you end up serving as president of this and on this board and owning 7 restaurants? And, you know, and if I could only tell them that it all goes back, Dave, to organizing your time, getting your rest appropriately, and you can fill those 16 hours up. And I'm a big proponent of taking the 8 hours. So I want to hit that too, because I've had that question. Why is it called our 16 hours? Because I recommend wholeheartedly a well-rested body can create and deliver more productivity than one that's tired and unrested. Simple as that. And let's not get confused activity with productivity. There's a big difference in those two if we have time to deal with that.
In our graphic novel, which is sitting behind you, You Have to Live, Why Not Win, we actually talk about time a fair amount towards the end of the book. And I scripted it that way deliberately to make issues of time real salient. You know, we tend to remember the last thing we read, and so wanted to stress that. But we talk about a social construct of time involving being late is okay. If I show up to a doctor's appointment late, that's okay. They'll figure it out. Or if I walk into class late, no big deal. The professor doesn't cover anything important the first 5 minutes. anyway. I'm curious about, you've been running McDonald's for several decades now. Has it been consistent all along that employees think it's okay to be late, or is that something that's getting worse as time goes on?
Yeah, I think it's been a good bit of consistency there. But on the first part of that spectrum that I spoke of, nobody around me regards time, so it must not be important. I think those unspoken social construct messages, here's my backdrop. And so I don't understand, why is it that Mr. T is on me all the time about being late? And this one gentleman, this story, you'll love this. His name is Jerry. And so Jerry's late, consistently late, but he's a great guy, does a great job when he's there, when he finally gets there. So I said, Jerry, I want you to understand something, Jerry. I personally do not have a problem with you being late. He says, well, why you say that, Mr. T? You always on me about being late. I said, Jerry, if a customer came in, and I'm trying to break it down so that it's resonant. I said, Jerry, if a customer came in and ordered a sausage biscuit, and I said to them, well, Jerry is on his way. And the customer said, okay, yeah, I'll wait for Jerry. Okay. And then the next customer comes in, he wants a sausage, egg, cheese biscuit. And I said, well, Jerry told me that he's only about 7 minutes away now. And the customer said, well, great, great, I'll wait for Jerry. I said, Jerry, if that were the case, you wouldn't hear from me, okay? Because we'd all be in the same boat. Everybody understands that being late is fine. But Jerry, they won't do that. They're going to go across the street somewhere else and might not come back for 3, 4 days until they think that we've got our act together so that they can get what they want when they order it. And I hope that that connected with Jerry, that it was not me that's on him. Jerry, we're in a business, and every customer that leave because they can't be served, then we suffer as a business.
So I guess what I'm hearing is Jerry's not a bad guy. In fact,
At
Jerry's
all.
a good guy, but he doesn't necessarily understand the connection between him walking in the door late and an inability to serve the customer.
As innocent as that, as innocent as that. And we so strongly advocate, and we specify, Dave, the significance of time whenever we do these why not win sessions, because more people miss their end because they're not timely than those persons who are sharp, smart, capable, great capacity, competent, but I can't get there. A gentleman told me early on in my career, he said, young man, I must have been in my mid-20s. He says, young man, 75% of your success will be contingent upon you showing up. And with emphasis, Dave, he said, and showing up on time. Now, I had a maintenance man, and I write about that in the chapter. His name, we all called him Mr. Ford. He'd already retired from one job, and he only wanted to work 2 years. Well, that 2 years turned into 17 years, but he was such a great guy. But I love his mantra. He was timely, always on time. He was one of the few maintenance managers that I ever invited to my general manager meeting. Mr. Ford said this to me once, and I captured it in the book. He said, Mr. Thornton, I'm always on time, whether I'm going to work or whether I'm going to visit a church in Detroit, Michigan. I'm on time because I leave in time to be on time. I thought it was so cleverly said, and that will always be with me. You have to leave in time. If you live 30 minutes away from work and you got to be there at 8 o'clock, you can't leave at 7:45 and expect to be on time. And you
Well,
and
I'd
I
suggest you
both know
can't
people.
even, yeah, I mean, you can't even leave at 7:30 and expect
No,
to be there
great
by eight
point.
o'clock because you don't know what's going to happen with, say, traffic, or, will
Right.
you get stopped at every light and that makes you 5 minutes late, or will there be an accident along the
Great.
way?
So let me give you this piece. I don't know how our time is running, but this is so important. So I'm elected to this particular board, and I'm on time, never missed a board meeting, never late for a board meeting in the first 2.5 to 3 years. It was at that point that the chairman, along with the board, suggested, the vote was taken, that I became chairman of the audit committee. Now, I would argue that the president was watching me. Does this guy come to the meetings, first of all, and does he come on time? Remember that recommendation? Showing up and showing up on time. Because it's very important to him that the audit committee meetings happen and that the audit committee report is given on time. Now, what's the significance of that? There is a $15,000 differential than just being a committee and being chair of the committee. Okay? So time really is money. And we can make that argument all day long, but that's a very salient piece that I think speaks to the significance of being on time and being known for that.
Yeah, one of the things I like to tell my students is, and it sounds a little imposing, but everything you do is data. Everything you do is data that people are going to use to draw conclusions about you and your behavior and your character.
Wow.
And, you know, what could be more simple than just simply being on time? It doesn't require any level of intelligence. You know, it's something anybody can do. You know, a child can show up on time. So with that, we are, my friend, out of time.
Oh, my goodness. So out of time.
We're out of time. 20 minutes have come and gone. So thank you for being here. And I'll look forward to doing this again soon.
Absolutely. I hope that the listeners will get a lot out of this. Time is significant. Thank you, Dave.